Reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is God's word.
So, have you ever felt anxious? The kind of unease that just won't let go? Like now. For me, it often happens when I have been house sitting. At night, things have been going pretty good. They've been fine at first. And then the lights go out. Every little sound is amplified. Comes something ominous. The creak of the floorboards, the rustle of the trees, the faint sound of a car outside, just amplified. My mind would race with the what ifs. What if someone was outside? What if I heard footsteps? Even though I knew it logically that I was perfectly safe, my heart didn't believe it. One night it got so bad that I just grabbed my keys, got in the car, and I drove to my brother's house in the middle of the night. And as soon as I got there, stepped in, I just felt that familiar peace and calm, and the stress left. I think every one of us has faced moments of deep anxiety at times, when our fears feel bigger than our faith. In Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, Paul addresses that very human struggle. He encourages the believers in Philippi, a Roman colony full of retired soldiers loyal to Caesar, to stand firm in their faith despite the hardship and the fear. These Christians lived under persecution, yet Paul, writing from prison, tells them to rejoice, to pray, and to fill their minds with godly thoughts. This morning we're going to look at three simple but life-changing instructions from Paul. To rejoice in the Lord, to come to the Lord through prayer and thanksgiving, and to filter your thoughts and take them captive. So looking at that first one, rejoice in the Lord. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now think about who's saying this. Paul is in prison. Probably chained, probably cold, knowing death is likely ahead, and yet he's talking about joy. And that doesn't make any sense unless his joy is coming from somewhere deeper. In Philippians 1, verses 4 to 6, Paul says, in all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel, being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Paul's joy wasn't rooted in comfort or safety. It was rooted in Christ's faithfulness. I love this quote. His confidence and joy were rooted in eternal truths, not mere circumstances. He was confident because Christ is faithful. That's what biblical joy looks like. It's not denial. It's defiance. It's looking at pain and saying, you don't get the last word. Jesus does. Joy in the Bible isn't pretending that everything's fine. It's choosing to trust that God is good and that his promises are true even when life is dark. I've experienced that in my own grief. In the past few years, I've lost several people that I love deeply, including my nana, who I was very close to, and an uncle. And grief is heavy. Studies say that 42% of people meet the criteria for depression 1 month after losing someone. But somehow, in that place of sadness, I found moments of deep joy. I remember going to a funeral when I was younger for a family friend, and I was joking around with his grandsons afterwards, and the youngest looked up at us and said, "Why are you happy? Aren't we supposed to be sad?" And that innocent question stuck with me. We were sad, but we also had hope. We knew that he loved Jesus. We knew we would see him again. And that gave us the joy that made no sense to the world. The kind of joy that only comes from the gospel. Because biblical joy isn't about pretending pain doesn't exist. It's about knowing that pain doesn't win. Jesus wins. So that brings us to the second point. Come to the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. Verses 5 to 7 say, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul gives us a direct command. Do not be anxious about anything. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. But he's not being unrealistic. He knows the Philippians are facing persecution. He knows the fear is real. So instead of saying, just get over it, he gives them biblical strategies. He says, pray. Bring it to God. Give thanks. Anxiety is something everyone recognises as harmful. It shortens our lives, weakens our immune systems, and steals our sleep. Jesus said in Matthew 6:27, "Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life?" So we know anxiety doesn't help, yet it's so hard to stop worrying, isn't it? That's why Paul gives us a process, not just a prevention. He says, bring everything to God. If something worries you, it matters to him. There is no too small prayer. If it keeps you up at night, it's worth praying about. Too often we try to carry our own burdens, things we were never meant to carry. When God says, cast all your cares on me. Paul also says to pray first, not last. When something goes wrong, what is our instinct? We Google it. We fix it. We text a friend. And then we pray. But Paul says to start with prayer. Peace doesn't come when the problem's gone. Peace comes when we trust God in the middle of the problem. When anxiety hits, it's often revealing an area in our life that we haven't surrendered to God yet. Paul also says to pray with thanksgiving. And this one is powerful. Paul says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving changes our focus. Instead of fixating on whatever is wrong, we start remembering what's right, what God has already done. When I'm anxious and I start praying, I sometimes force myself to list things that I'm thankful for. And without fail, my breathing slows, my heart calms. Because gratitude breaks anxiety's grip. Paul doesn't say, pray and God will fix everything. He says, pray and the peace of God will guard your heart. That peace doesn't come from God granting our wishes like a genie. It comes from releasing control to Him. When you pray with thanksgiving, we're saying, God, I trust you. I know you're good. Even if the outcome isn't what I want. That kind of surrender invites peace that transcends understanding. It doesn't make sense. And that is the beauty of it. The world can't give that kind of peace. And the world can't take it away. So the third point, filter your thoughts and take them captive. Verses 8 to 9 gives us a great list. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So Paul now turns to our minds, because so much of anxiety and peace starts there in our minds. Our thoughts are powerful. They shape our emotions, our actions, our faith. That's why Scripture says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And Paul gives us 8 filters or 8 questions that we can use to test our thoughts. True. Is this thought grounded in reality or lies? Honourable. Is it worthy of respect? Right. Is it just and fair? Pure. Is it clean, not corrupted or bitter? Lovely. Does it inspire love or grace? Admirable. Would I be proud to share this thought aloud? Excellent. Does it show moral goodness? And praiseworthy. Does it lead me to praise God? And Paul says to think about these things. In other words, make them your mental diet. If you want peace, you have to feed your mind with the right things. So think of it like a garden. Growing up on a farm, I have seen firsthand, if you don't tend it, the weeds will grow. Just ask my old man about Scotch thistles. Negativity, fear, jealousy, anger. They creep in and they choke the life out of your faith. But when you regularly pull those weeds and plant the seeds of truth, hope, gratitude, your mind becomes a place where peace can grow. And that's why we need to check our inputs. What are we consuming? Is it news, social media, or conversations that fill us with fear and bitterness? Paul says, whatever you've learnt or seen in me, put it into practice. Peace doesn't come just from thinking right, but from living right. And when we practice these things, rejoicing, praying, thinking godly thoughts, Paul says the God of peace will be with you. Not just his peace, but he himself. And that's the promise. So as we engage in this filtering process, we invite the presence of God into our thought life. Ultimately, this practice transforms our hearts and our minds. Like Paul, we can rejoice in circumstances that seem dire, recognize anxiety for what it is, and actively cultivate a mindset that glorifies God. In doing so, we experience the promised peace that God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, helping us to stand firm amidst life's uncertainties. So, imagine being a home that isn't yours, surrounded by unfamiliar sounds, the unsettling anxiety of potential intrusions. Yet, in the midst of that fear, there exists an opportunity for peace, the assurance that comes from trusting God. The last time my house sat, I started feeling those same familiar fears. My heart raced, my thoughts spiraled, and then I remembered this passage. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I sat up, prayed, brought my fears to God, and I began to thank him for the roof over my head, for his protection, for his presence. Then I filtered my thoughts. Was I truly in danger? No. Was God with me? Yeah. Slowly the anxiety eased. Peace came, and I fell asleep. Friends, the world will always give us reasons to worry. But Paul shows us a better way. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray with thanksgiving. Think on what is true and lovely. And when we do, the peace of God that is beyond understanding will guard our hearts and minds. And even better, the God of peace himself will be with us. Our joy isn't rooted in circumstances. Our peace isn't the absence of trouble. Our confidence isn't control. The truth is, it's in Christ. So when anxiety rises, remember, rejoice, pray, think rightly, and let the God of peace carry you through. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that speaks peace to anxious hearts. In a world filled with noise, fear, and uncertainty, you invite us to rejoice, not because life is easy, but because you are faithful. Teach us, Lord, to rejoice in you always. Even when our hearts are heavy, remind us that joy is not the absence of pain, but the presence of Christ. When worry rises within us, help us to turn to you first. May prayer become our instinct, not our last resort. We bring before you every burden, every fear, every unanswered question, every restless thought, and we lay them at your feet with thanksgiving. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for caring about every detail of our lives. And thank you for the peace that guards our hearts when we trust in you. Lord, renew our minds. Help us to think on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Let your truth take root in us and pull up every weed of fear, bitterness, or doubt. Shape our thoughts so that our lives reflect your goodness and grace. Father, for each person carrying unseen anxiety today, wrap them in your peace that surpasses understanding. Let your presence be felt in our hearts and homes. May we leave here standing firm, not because we are strong, but because you, the God of peace, are with us. We rest in your promise today that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that prayer opens the door to peace, and that when our minds are fixed on you, we will not be shaken. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.